Well, we have been studying how can I know God's will? And we've covered a lot of bases, and these last few days we've been looking at the ways that God can make his will known to us. And we've talked about through the Holy Scriptures, we've talked about by the Holy Spirit, we've talked about through the counsel of the saints, we've talked about through personal revelatory encounters like dreams and visions. We've talked about through spiritual authorities. And yesterday we looked at the prophetic and how God can speak through the prophetic and through certain gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so that's all of that's good. And today we're going to finish up. You can probably add some more things to this. I mean, the Bible even declares, he declares his glory through the heavens above us. They let us know God's will in the sense that we can know there's a creator by looking at the creative design that surrounds our lives and so forth. There's a lot of things you could add to the list. But today I want to talk about how our circumstances can also be used by the Lord to let us know what God's will is. Now, we have to be careful on this one because often the circumstances will be opposite of what God may be doing. But there are times when circumstances give us a cue on what the will of God is in a situation. Just using our plain common sense, sometimes it's pretty obvious what God's will would be in a situation. Now, let me give you an example. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he's telling them that he has plans to come and see them. This is the way he says it, but the way he expresses it gives us some insight into the ways that Paul discerned and thought through things. He says, "But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me." Let me read that again. He said, "I'll stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost." That's a time thing. Why? Why, Paul? Why are you going to stay at Pentecost instead of coming on? He said, "Because a great door for effective work has opened to me." In other words, Paul was saying, you know, that that God had opened a door there, and he did not sense that it was time for that door to be closed. He sensed God still had work for him to do, and so he drew the conclusion, "I'm not going to leave here until Pentecost because God is at work. God's doing something here." And Jesus teaches us in his message to the seven churches in those early chapters of the book of Revelation, in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he talks about that he can open a door that no man can close, and he closes doors that no man can open. Sometimes circumstances will tell us that this is God opening this door. Enter therein. Sometimes we can, the circumstances, this door is closed. You know, we knocked on it, we've been rebuking, we've been praying, we've been warring, nothing's changing. So this is a door it seems God has closed. Now, again, when we're talking about circumstances and we're talking about open doors and closed doors, Mickey and I actually did a teaching on the open door and closed doors a number of Wednesday nights ago. But we have to be careful there because you do need to discern who is blocking the way. Who's closing the door? Sometimes the enemy will get in the way. Paul talked about that at times. We've tried to do this, but Satan created obstacles in the way, slowed us down. So sometimes we need to press through with spiritual warfare, but sometimes we can need to discern that, no, this is God saying no. You know, I can button my head on this door all I want to, but God's closed this door. So I need to realize the Lord is saying, no, this is not the direction you need to go. Now, there's some things to talk about here. I think sometimes when God has spoken to us and we know he's told us to do a certain thing, and then we step into it and we start doing it and we run into resistance, that's usually the enemy. Or we're out of timing with what the Lord has told us to do. And those are all issues to be discerned. But when the Lord really hasn't told you and you're just presuming or assuming, well, I believe this is God, and you're banging your head against the wall and nothing's happening, it may just be that's a closed door. So sometimes circumstances themselves can indicate to us this is a door God is opening. This is a door that God is closing. And so in that way, it helps us to discern God's will. You know, in the book of Esther, we have an occasion where the name of God is not even mentioned in the book of Esther, but yet the fingerprints of God are all through the book of Esther. And Esther's one of those books where we can see that God is moving in the background, causing things to happen. You know, the enemy's moving through Haman to set up Mordecai and to take him out, but the Lord turns the table on him. The Lord moves upon Esther to go before the king. All of this, God's moving to preserve a nation. And sometimes in our life, we have Romans 8:28. It says God is working all things together for our good, for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. In other words, when we're loving God and we're pursuing his purposes, we can know God's at work for good. And sometimes when we're not hearing something, we're not getting this particular scripture, the circumstances himself, we know God's at work. And so we can discern, okay, it seems that the Lord is saying this. And we just have to leave room for that when we're talking about how we can know God's will. There are doors that God's closing. There are doors that God is opening. And sometimes it is timing. We might be at the right place, but at the wrong time. Timing is so important, as you've heard us teach before. Now, another thing that I wanted to bring up is in John chapter 5. Jesus said in John 5:19, only do what I see my Father doing. And that opens several doors of thought for us. Some of what he saw Father doing, he saw by the Spirit, by revelation. And he was in the realm of the Spirit. He was actually by vision, by words of knowledge, by the prophetic, discerning what Father was doing. At other times, just the inward leading of the Holy Spirit that was very clear and strong. We've talked about these things in this list. But the other times, it's kind of like Henry Blackaby taught in his wonderful teaching on experiencing God. Many of you may have gone through that course, experiencing God. But to sum it up, Blackaby used this John 5 passage and he said, you know, we need to learn to recognize where God is moving and join God in what he is doing. And that goes along with here how God can speak through circumstances. Sometimes we feel like God's called me into this ministry and we're trying to make things happen, and we're trying to, you know, some people, they'll send out emails, they'll contact people trying to get an invitation because they feel like God's called them to do this, and it's like no doors are opening. But over here, is ever, you know, when they step into that, it's like God starts blessing, people start asking questions, people start getting saved. But this is what they want to do over here. You know, it's like we want God to bless what we're doing instead of joining God and begin to do what God's blessing. When we learn to do to step into what God is doing, knowing he's blessing that, then we're joining him. We're partnering with him. And sometimes it's the circumstances that allow us to know where God is moving. You know, sometimes people will pray, oh Lord, I pray that you'd move upon my boss at work. I pray you'd move upon the people I work with at work. Lord, I pray that you'd open their hearts. And oh Lord, help me, I'm being persecuted on the job. There are people around me are cursing and nobody's going to church. And, you know, and you may be praying for a breakthrough, and then all of a sudden at work, someone, you know, that maybe you may not like them that well, and they get on your nerves, but they say something about, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, Lord help me, or something like that. And you think, well, they're just complaining and they're whining. But when they say, Lord help me, step into that. You know, well, the Lord will help you, and step into that. Sometimes people are saying things that are open doors to us, and we don't even recognize it. Sometimes they may come to you, oh, now, where is it you go to church? Don't take that lightly. They thought about what they were going to talk to you about when they brought that up. That means they're thinking about spiritual things. They may not be using church language. They may not be quoting Bible verses. They may not know anything about God. But when they're expressing some kind of spiritual hunger, you may get frustrated. Well, they talk about going to this paranormal movies, you know, all that, you know, and I think it's best to stay away from those, but I don't want to hear that. But if they're talking about that, understand, if they're going to that, there's something inside of them that's inquisitive about the spirit realm. Just say, you know, paranormal, you know, there are spirits out there. You know, there is a spirit realm. Yeah, I've met the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you about Him. I'm just saying, sometimes there are opportunities around us, and it's God's will for us to step into those. Why? Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. We know it's God's will for people to get saved. We know it's God's will for us to be a witness. We know it's God's will for our light to shine. We know it's God's will for us to share the Word in loving ways. So, I'm not saying allow your life to be governed by circumstances. If you do, you'll be tossed to and fro like a man on the sea. No, I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about be sensitive to what's going on around you, to doors God may be opening and doors God may be closing. Sometimes those things can be indicators concerning God's will. And it allows us to join God in what He's doing. So that's a lot different than saying, God, I want to do this, bless it. Lord, I want to enter into what You're doing because I know that's where You're blessing. And we miss out on a lot of blessings because we're not sensitive to what's going on around us. We're to be led by the One who's seated above us and the One whose Spirit lives within us. But we need to be sensitive to what's going on around us. In culture, there's a lot going on. It can frustrate you. It can irritate you. It can keep you upset. Or you can see those as opportunities to bring love, to bring wisdom, to build bridges, to share people like, you know, I have an unseen source of strength that helps me through. Why aren't you frustrated? Why aren't you upset? Why aren't you does that not make you mad? Well, no, because I'm not going to be dictated to by what's going on in other people's life. I'm to be governed and led by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we can live in peace and move in the Spirit and be a shining light and share the love of Christ with those around us. So sometimes circumstances and common sense are important for us to think about. I remember years ago, I was actually praying. This was back in the early 90s, and we were pastoring in Mississippi, and I was praying one night, and the Lord laid a church on my heart back here in Alabama in Coleman County, just out of nowhere. And so I just prayed for that church. I didn't know what was going on there. That was in the morning. Later that night, my phone rang, and a pulpit committee from that church, the chairman of that committee actually called me and said, asked me, are you Eddie Lawrence? Yes, and you just recently graduated from Mid-America. And I said, yes, I did. And they said, well, would you mind sending us a resume? We are looking for a new pastor. And I said, well, let me pray about that, and I'll get back with you. But when I hung up, I'm thinking, wow, out of nowhere, God, I hadn't prayed for this church or thought about them in, you know, a few years, really. And that morning, God burdens me about that church. That night, I get contacted about it, and it's like 1 + 1. So let me tell you, I felt really strongly at that time, well, God's opening a door here. This must be because we'd been sensing a shifting was coming for various reasons. And so I called them back. I sent the resume, and they called, wanted me to come down, and I went and I met with them, and things seemed to go well. But then I got a call back, and they said, you know, we just don't feel like this is the Lord, and thank you for spending time with us. And I'll be honest with you, it was a little bit disillusioning and a little bit disappointing because I felt like, you know, part of me is like, well, I think you guys missed it because I wasn't even thinking, and that morning the Lord laid you in my heart, and you called me that night. But see, I didn't know the rest of the story. And we have to be so careful, like, well, did I miss it? Or they must have missed it. You know what? As it panned out, no one missed it. Because you know what happened? God used that contact with that committee for someone else in a neighboring county in Winston County contacted me and said, someone told me that they had talked to you, and when we heard your name, we just felt like we were to contact you. Well, make a long story short, that contact resulted in us moving back to Winston County and had wonderful ministry in Haleville, Alabama, and a lot of wonderful things happened in our life as a result of that. So that first contact was a stepping stone to position us and build a bridge for us to the place that God was leading us. But I, you know, just assumed that I knew what it meant, that was going to be where we was going. No, the Lord used that to connect us with where he was leading us. And sometimes that's the way God moves and works. He moves and works through other people. And you say, well, that don't make sense. Why didn't he just speak to that committee? Well, you can take that up with the Lord. Sometimes it's a journey of faith and a journey of obedience and journey of discerning. And I thank God for that first group of people that they correctly discerned, because I know that I know we ended up where we were supposed to go. And so you've just got to hold your palms out like that before the Lord. Do the best job you can do in being obedient and being humble and being teachable and trying to do what the Lord calls you to do and step in the direction. You may find, and I often tell people this who are called into ministry, they come in and they may share, Brother Eddie, I just feel like the Lord's leading. This is what God's calling us to do. And I will tell them, I said, that is awesome. Say yes to God's call. But understand this, that what you're envisioning right now, hold that loosely before the Lord, because he's probably going to customize it and shape it, and it's going to look a little different when you finally get there, but you'll like what he does better than what you think he's going to do right now. And I found that to be true, because we see in part and we know in part. And God often will give someone else another piece of the puzzle, and he's putting it all together. He's working all things together for good. And when you end up and you know, this is what God has for me, I'm in the middle of his will, you just have peace, and you can look back and see the way that God navigated you around the turns and around the curves and through the rapids to get you to where you are. You might say, well, you know, Pastor Eddie, I know now that God was doing this, and I dismissed it. I went the wrong way. Good news for you. Good news for you. Even if you miss it, God's like, you know, a good GPS in your car. When you miss a turn, what does it do? Reroutes you. And God will often just reroute you, and it may take a little longer to get you there, and maybe another step or two to get you where you need to be. But you can trust him with that. You can trust him with your failure. You can trust his mercy. You can trust his grace. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And even when you miss it, just get back on the trail, friend. Humble yourself, repent, and say, Lord, forgive me. Here I am, Lord. And do with this what you will. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Just have a pliable, flexible, humble heart. And that's what the Lord is looking for. Just like our children, when they're beginning to walk and toddling around, it's just amazing to watch them as they begin to see more about how to put life together and begin understanding the right and wrong and how to be led and how to depend. This is awesome. Well, God does us that way, and he's a good father. He wants us to know his will more than we want to know it. No matter how much you want to know it, he wants you to know it more. And he's able to lead you and guide you. Just have an humble, teachable heart. Well, that's enough for today. Again, I hope you'll be worshiping somewhere this weekend. We invite you to Grace House, 1946 Florence Boulevard in Florence, Alabama. 9:00 outdoor service, 10:30 indoor service, 10:30 a.m. online service. And if it were to rain out that early service, we'll get the word out to you. But we won't make a call on that until much closer to Sunday morning, because we've just seen the weather pattern shift too quickly and too often in this season. I love you all, and I pray that God blesses you. Have a wonderful day. Amen.